Umket Industries proudly presents the Dixie Stenberg and Brassy Battalion Adventure Theater, a Pendant production. In the summer of 1947, a clandestine squadron of P-47 Thunderbolts battled the forces of evil in the skies over America. This squadron was known as Brassy Battalion, and this is their story. Tonight's episode, The Dauntlessness of Joey Scalzetti. When we last left our hero, Dixie Stenberg, she had acquired a special set of goggles from one Archibald Withersby. These goggles let her see what was hitherto unseen, and the hunt for the beast was on. Determined to apprehend the elusive monstrosity before the forces of SCAR could have their way with it, Brassy Battalion spent more than a year chasing the evanescent behemoth, fighting in skirmish after skirmish with the nefarious Zeta Squad. Let's listen in as Dixie and the battalion slip into the skies over New York City on another such pursuit. But this mission is not going to go as planned.
Report in!
I'm here, honey.
Present and accounted for.
Back home again. The city, she is huge.
Ready and raring to go. You see anything, Miss Dixie?
Dixie's sparkling blues peered out from behind her special goggles, scanning the famous skyline for any signs of the beast's rocket.
Negative.
It's okay. I see something better.
Eh? Gherkin. I see him too. Bearing down on us at 3 o'clock.
And there, like a cloud of death pouring between the tall, proud skyscrapers of New York City, 5 ebony fighters bared their teeth, led by the Auburn Focke Wulf 190 of one Reginald Billingsley.
Set your sights on the battalion, but lay off the Amber Avenger. The others are yours, but Dixie Stenberg is mine.
They're coming right for us.
We've handled them before, and we'll handle them again.
We've got to be careful. The civilians in all these buildings. Any errant shot could wound innocents.
Tommy's right. Hold your fire while in the city proper. Try to draw them away from their population center before engaging them directly.
Shouldn't be too hard to get boys to chase me.
Archie said there were eyewitness reports matching the Beast's rocket ship. I know I can find it. I just need time.
Piece of cake, Toots. I grew up on these streets. I know them like my own ma.
Okay, Joey, you're with me. The rest of you, buy us some time.
You shall have it, comrade.
Corny, you lead the wing and pull them out of this city.
As good as done, my dear.
And if you get the opportunity, take them down if you can.
Believe me, it'll be our pleasure.
Break on my mark.
Dixie paused, letting Zeta Squad get closer.
Hold.
And closer.
Hold.
And closer still.
Now!
They've broken formation. Pelzer, Unger, after them.
They run like cowards.
And we shall cut them down like things which are too tall. And they're trimming, and so you cut them.
Hip, Falkenstein, break off and circle back to cut off their retreat.
I'm coming for you, Puppet.
I like Puppet.
And Dixie, how is that? Joseph again, eh? This situation is familiar, and I've a score to settle.
Billingsley dove straight at our brave heroes and spewed hot lead like a volcano of death.
Right in a stack!
I'm the only one that has to worry. My plane ain't bulletproof.
One of those stray bullets is gonna hit someone it's got no business hitting.
But we gotta make sure that don't happen.
I'm the one he wants, Joey.
I ain't running.
I don't want you to get hurt.
This is my fight, too. We're a team, Dix.
Close your throttle, Joey.
I ain't leaving you.
I don't want you to leave, you stupid mook. If you slow up, Bill will stay on me, and you can tear him up as soon as he's in your sight.
Ah, Gherkin. Will do.
As Joseph slowed his Thunderbolt...
Bessie!
Of course. As Joseph slowed his Thunderbolt, Bessie, Billingsley did indeed stay on Dixie's tail. Joseph knew that his guns were of no use against the ebony plating of Billingsley's Focke Wulf 190, and their quarters were too close for missiles.
If I missed him, I'd take out one of the skyscrapers. And if I hit him, the explosion would take out Dixie.
Quite right. And so Joseph's mind raced back a few years to the last time he was in this situation. And he figured,
if it ain't broke, break it.
And now it was Joseph who dove, intending to collide with Billingsley's plane from above and drive him downward. Perhaps you didn't hear me, chum, but I said Joseph was driving you downward.
I heard you, mental defective, but perhaps I know something that you do not know.
And what might that be, you useless jerk?
Reginald Billingsley learns from his mistakes.
And, dear listeners, that's when Billingsley drew his .08 Parabellum pistol, known to our boys on the line as the fearsome German Luger, aimed it upward through his canopy, and fired. The bullet cracked up through Billingsley's canopy and directly into Joseph's fuel tank. As gasoline scattered into the sky over downtown New York, it coated both Billingsley's and Joseph's planes. And being that they were in flying contraptions that used controlled explosions to power their engines, there was only one way this could end.
This wasn't at all what I had planned.
And now, a word from our sponsor, the Acuminius Umket Industries.
Hit a wallace with their astonishing acumen, no doubt.
No doubt, something is very sharp indeed in this studio today.
Oh, is it me?
Is it me?
No, it's...
The Amazing Noel.
He's amazing, he's astounding. Not a charlatan, not confounding. The Amazing Noel.
The Amazing Noel?
Famed mentalist and futuristic predictor extraordinaire?
The one and same. And, as always, by his side,
Miss Fortune Divine.
The Amazing Noel and Miss Fortune Divine, together at last and for all time.
Bah, howdy, it's a regular hootenanny.
Of course it's a regular hootenanny. What sort of irregular hootenanny havers do you take us for?
I don't like the cut of his jib.
My jib?
Aye, my good man. Your jib is bestubbled and most unsavory in appearance.
If the jib is unsightly and completely unprofessional, here's the Amazing Noel who'll take you to your confessional.
My face is so stubbly. No blade gets close enough to make it through the day clean shaven.
Whatever can he do?
Tell me, my good man, might you have any Umket frothy handy?
You mean that fine product whose slogan says, there's $2 cash that says Umket frothy wins you in a flash?
The very same.
I still have my two authentic robot dollars. Do you?
Hello?
What is a collection
now, the Umket frothy, if you please.
Of course. I believe we happen to have some handy just under the desk. Here we are.
How fortuitous!
Almost like we planned it.
The Amazing Noel knows what a fine product Umket frothy is, and was sure good patriotic gentlemen such as yourselves would have a canister handy.
Noel is the best.
It's true! I am! Now, sir, please apply the froth to that heinous 5 o'clock shadow of yours.
Alrighty. Now what?
Now you shave off those unsightly bristles with this.
Ah, what is that?
The Umka Sharp Stick Injector.
It is sharp and it's on a stick and it's on an injector to keep your face like.
It's the very latest in Umket slicing and dicing technology.
No other safety razor you will ever use can compare with an Umke Sharp Stick Injector.
You know, it's the injector portion that give him a pause.
Oh, and pause you should. To stare at this marvel of modern technology.
It's a marvel?
It's the Marvelist. It's the only razor with an automatic blade changer. And it gives you a shave so swift, so smooth, so easy. You hardly know you've got whiskers.
Just slice them right off.
It's the marvel of modern technology. Shaves off your hair and helps fight biology. It's the latest tool of dermatology.
Get your Mkasharp stick injector razor tomorrow and discover for yourself the convenience of its automatic blade changer.
It changes blades when you need new blades. Like a machine gun!
Like a what?
Fast as this! Listen! Hear those glorious clicks? A simple push, pull, twist, shove, pull, pull, push, heave, thrust, pull, push.
In that exact order.
And you're ready to shave. No blades to unwrap, no cut fingers. The blade automatically locks in the correct shaving position.
Moreover, the patented guard bar holds each hair erect.
This means the Mkasharp stick injector cuts with maximum closeness.
You know it's good, because it's the maximum.
And how?
Mkasharp stick injector blades are double thick, hollow ground, honed to superlative genius.
I don't even know what you just said.
Brush up on your smarts, chum. The amazing Noel doesn't cater to the lowest common denominator.
It's true! I do not! And for the cleanest, closest, smoothest shave you've ever known, get an Mkasharp stick injector razor at your dealer's tomorrow!
And while you're there, you can pick up the perfect companion piece to the Mkasharp stick injector razor, a fresh can of Mket Frothy.
And Miss Fortune Divine knows quite a bit about perfection in companion pieces.
Oh, gosh.
So, my good man, give it a try.
Well, you see, the thing is...
Yes?
I'm not quite convinced anything compared to a machine gun is what I want right near my face. I'm on the radio, you know. My face is my livelihood.
Not to worry, chum. Miss Fortune Divine is all too happy to demonstrate its superlative genius. Yes, see how she applies all that frothy so it coats the entire surface area of her shapely leg.
Oh, yes. I see.
Well, you have to make sure you get it all over.
Yes. Just like that.
Just like that. And now, an Mkasharp stick, if you please.
But of course.
Feels smooth and fine.
Smooth and fine.
But, perhaps, I should change the blade. Lucky me, the Mkasharp stick injector comes with an automatic blade changer. Now, how did that go again? Oh, I remember. A simple push, pull, twist, shove, pull, pull, push, thrust, heave, pull, push.
Heave before thrust, not after.
What have I done?
Be sure you remember the proper order in which to activate the automatic blade changer. The Mkasharp stick injector razor does not cater to the lowest common denominator either. And if you want your faces to be as smooth as Miss Fortune's legs, the Mkasharp stick injector razor is the one that shall improve the cut of your jib.
Extraordinary. Give us one more prediction.
I'm getting something. Yes? Yes! I regret to predict an invasion of flying cockroaches on the West Coast.
That's amazing, Noel.
I know!
We now return our program as two flaming aerial fireballs careen through New York City.
Just keep your wits about you. You're the skull. There's always a way.
Excuse me, I was screaming in panic here.
Sorry.
As Joseph fought to stay alive.
What about me?
As Joseph fought to stay alive, his life flashed before his eyes. And so it is, dear listeners, that through the magic of radio and the theater of the mind, that we are able to travel back with Joseph as he remembers a key moment from his formative years.
They can do that now. The wonders of modern technology.
Let's listen in as Joseph remembers. Joseph grew up on the mean streets of the Bronx, surrounded by mafiosos and speakeasies. It was a hard life, but he kept himself on the straight and narrow thanks to the ever-watchful eye of his mother. As Joseph prepares to leave for school on this fateful day, Mrs. Scalzetti cooks up something scrumptious in the kitchen.
She's always cooking. Sometimes I think she even cooks in her sleep.
Now, Joseph, you remember what I told you. Keep away from those no-good nicks. I don't want you ending up running moonshine or getting involved in organized crime.
Yeah, Ma, I know.
No, you don't know. We have worked too hard. Your father worked himself to death providing for us, and for what? Not so my only boy can get caught up with those layabouts and become a hooligan.
I know. I'll come home right after school.
You will do no such thing. You'll go straight to ballet.
Ma.
Right from school, and I don't want to hear another word about it.
Ma.
Because it keeps you out of trouble, and you graduate the month, and I won't have you jeopardizing that. Oh, my word, you need to be strong and healthy and fit and fine to give me grandchildren someday.
Ma, eesh, I got it.
Now give your mother a kiss. Smoochies.
Smoochies.
Good boy. Now don't forget your lunch.
Cucumber sandwiches again?
You know we can't afford fancy things like zucchini.
Ah, gherkin.
High school passed for Joseph as it did for most strapping, red-blooded American boys his age. There was the posturing.
You kidding? I could take that guy with one arm tied behind my back.
And the posturing.
You kidding? Of course I aced that exam. It ain't nothing I couldn't handle.
And the posturing.
Hey, Toots. Ever seen a bicep this beautiful?
But for Joseph Scalzetti, it went deeper than it did for other fine, upstanding boys his age. For though he talked a big game, he was, ultimately, alone.
Nah, I got friends. You know, me and Bobby Sacamano and Artie Bucco. We play stickball every day after school. One of these days, I'm gonna play for the Dodgers.
You needn't posture for us, Joseph.
Nah, it ain't like that. Bobby and Artie, they're in my ballet class. But don't tell none of the guys at school.
I wouldn't dream of it. For, you see, dear listeners, Joseph's neighborhood was indeed not as ideal as Mrs. Scalzetti would have liked.
It's just tough, you know? All the guys at school are in gangs and all hang together. I gotta keep up appearances so they don't make me or my ma their next mark.
It was a noble, if lonely, existence. But appearances weren't all he kept, for Joseph was a man of his word and made it to every ballet practice as promised.
Don't tell none of the school guys, but I kinda like it. How do you think I got these awesome biceps? And you should see my legs sometime.
I'm sure they're spectacular. But this memory is not about your legs, Joseph. It's about your heart.
Go figure.
Joseph may have been one of only three male students in his ballet class, but he was certainly the most adept and skilled.
And that made me a hit. Ain't none of the dopes from school got to have their hands all over the ladies like me. Not that I did anything sleazy, of course. I kept my hands where they belong. I just meant for dancing.
Of course. And the class was taught by one Mr. Leone.
One of the finest men I ever known. He was kind of like a father to me for those 4 years I spent in his class.
He's a good boy and does his mama proud.
But it is my sad duty to remind you that in this day and age, such a profession is unfortunately looked down upon by men as something to ridicule and deride.
It's sad the way so many don't appreciate the arts.
Quite right, Mr. Leone. And this day, as Joseph left class and bid adieu to his lovely fellow dancers, it so happened that he saw some thugs roughing up Bob, Artie, and their kind-hearted teacher.
Those blockheads!
Some of Joey's schoolmates, curious about his purported stickball prowess, had followed him from school and learned the truth of Joseph's afternoon activities. They took it upon themselves to make others feel small in an attempt to make their own shallow souls feel big.
Why, I ought to... Hey! You guys! Leave him alone!
Joseph was sorely outmatched and given a good beating, and he quickly escaped the scene. They promised to tell the entire school of Joseph's true activities and threatened to return the next day, more prepared to teach the sissies a lesson.
There are all kinds of people in this world, son, and sadly that includes those small of mind and small of heart.
Joseph knew this as well, but he did not return home that evening.
My little Joseph, my boy, where is my boy?
I was confused and scared.
Never give up, son. There's always a way.
I needed to think.
And think he did. For the next day, Joey was also not present at school, and the call from the truant officer sent his mother further into a tizzy.
Oh, my dear Joseph, you stay away from those no-goodniks. Listen to your mother!
But Joseph had made his decision, and he knew what he had to do. And so it was that he also missed ballet class for the first time in 4 years.
I thought you were stronger than that, son. I know you are. Don't let the dastardly win.
Hooligan! Hooligan! My boy's becoming a hooligan!
But, in truth, Joseph was not so very far away. For across from the ballet studio, in a dark and shadowy alleyway, he sat watching the door as class let out for the afternoon.
You kids have a nice night now. I'll see you again tomorrow.
Right on cue, Mr. Leone locked up. And right on cue, the thugs showed up to harass him, this time brandishing knives, chains, and tire irons, right in front of the entire class. And that is exactly when Joseph had seen all he needed to see.
Hey, you mooks! Get out of here! Go on, get! Don't make me teach you a lesson.
I knew you hadn't given up on us.
The threat was empty, and all parties knew it.
I'm telling you, I got connections. You feel me? With the Teshios.
Joseph, say it ain't so.
Oh, it's so.
The Teshios were the most notorious crime family in the neighborhood, and so this gave the street toughs pause. The mere mention of the Teshios was enough to send even the most hardened delinquent running. But believing this another in a long line of lies, the boys stepped ever closer, brandishing their weapons in menacing fashion. Joseph stood his ground, putting himself between his teacher and the encroaching thuggery.
Don't do it, Joseph. Save yourself.
But our Joseph had an ace, or should I say, a scar, up his sleeve. Quickly, Joseph rolled up the sleeve on his left arm to reveal a still-healing, reddened bicep where a macabre skull tattoo, the symbol of the Teshio family, which glared out with sightless eyes at the now motionless throng.
You know how I got this? Connections.
That was more than the thugs needed. They dropped their weapons on the spot and bid a hasty retreat. Joseph's ruse had proved successful, and he was left with a very physical reminder of his actions.
You joined up with the Mafia?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't.
But then the tattoo.
Where do you think I've been all night? Took me forever to find a place that would do it. Ain't nobody gives that tattoo around here without Teshio approval. They could get into a lot of trouble.
So who gave it to you?
I swore I'd never tell. They did a favor for me. The least I can do is protect their identity in return. I'm a man of my word.
You fooled those thugs, and you saved us.
I just didn't want no one to get hurt.
You have a noble heart, son. And though it be ghoulish in appearance, let that tattoo serve as a permanent reminder of your selflessness and courage, and that you should never give up. There's always a way.
And so it was that those words echoed in Joey's ears as his blazing thunderbolt fell toward the ground.
Not in the city. Too many people.
Joey, get out of there. Bail out now.
Joey struggled with his controls, trying to keep the plane in the air just long enough.
Gotta make it out past the harbor, away from the boats.
Bail! Bail! Bail!
I'm out of here.
And so the plane sailed right over the small fishing boats and crashed down into the harbor.
Spontaneous splashdown!
This production has starred Renee Christine Jones as Dixie Stenberg.
Joey, did he make it out? Did anyone see?
Mark Zerichor as Frank McGuff.
I couldn't see what you wanted me to see because I'm in California and can't see.
Steve Anderson as Reginald Billingsley.
What about me? Isn't anyone concerned? Anyone at all?
Jeremiah McCoy as Archibald Withersby.
I'll get on the horn with Army Central Command and see what we might ascertain.
Pete Mylan as Freidenberg.
I don't like all of these missions the battalion has so very far away from us. I don't like knowing we cannot help them in their hour of need.
Wine, wine, wine. Who's going to help me?
Scott Vinicombe as Cornelius Robert Sims Pearson.
Don't even think of looking at me, son. I'd shoot you as soon as help you.
Anthony Pacelli as Joey Scalzetti.
I'm sure I'm fine.
The heck you say?
There's always a way.
Clever of you to develop that saying now after all these years. And yet you claim to have learned it as a teen.
I was saving it for my special flashback episode.
Convenient.
Yeah, ain't it though?
Chris Britton as Thomas Galen.
Do you think we'll all get flashbacky episodes?
I think it only stands to reason.
Oh, good. More sappy stories from the formative years of the battalion members. Just what I hear none of the audience clamoring for.
Perry Whittle as Benedict Aderchenko.
So then, if there were to be a Fleshy Becky episode for you, you would not be interested, huh?
For me?
Alicia Lane Matheson as Lily LaRue.
Well, you are the most unlikable, dastardly person in the entire show.
Oh, go on, you flatter me!
Michael Moss as Mrs. Scalzetti.
My boy, somebody tell me he's okay. My grandchildren can't grow up without their father.
I'm gonna be fine, don't you worry.
Are you sure?
I always keep my word.
Scott Walker as Mr. Leone.
He does, he's such a good man.
Catherine Pride as Brenny.
Enough of these toodles, they make me sick. Back to these Flashy Becky episodes. If Billingsley gets one, I should get one. I am the Hair of Scar!
Justin Dobby as Volker.
And your story is inexorably intertwined with my own. Why, I dare say a Vrenny without a Volker is no Vrenny at all.
Keep it up, Soupy, and we'll find out what a Volkerless Vrenny is like sooner than you think!
Mike Winters as Brad of Pelzer.
Is someone getting killed? Can I do it? Please let me do it!
Era Pelody as Ursula Unger.
Oh, you're so cute when you want to inflict violence. Would you maim him first?
Oh, I love it when you talk torture.
David Alexander MacDonald as Walter Falkenstein.
I like torture. Wait a minute. No, I don't. Torture is the most serious violation of a person's fundamental right to personal integrity and a pathological form of human interaction.
Those moments of lucidity frighten me.
His aversion to torture frightens me. What kind of Nazi is that?
M. Sierra Garcia as Nev.
Who cares about Nazis? Right now, all I care about is revenge.
Kristen Bays as the Umket Triplets.
All Nazis are evil. We hate you.
I kind of like Walther.
Bill Young as the amazing Noel.
Under this, my friends, is a lovable Nazi truly a Nazi at all?
M. Ciro Garcia as Miss Fortune Divine.
What a great question!
Of course it is! I asked it!
Brian Pickens as Robot 153.
My highly educated and very smart robotic brain could answer that question for you. But I would have to charge you $2 for that service.
Amanda Fitzwater as Nebulon 2000.
That means the worth of your question answering services is incalculable.
You are really adamant about the value of robot dollars.
Even the smallest fragment of a single robot dollar is worth more than all human money combined by mere virtue of it being a robot dollar.
And Jeffrey Bridges as the commercial announcer.
Why do you dislike us so much?
Quiet, you slithery skin sack! Go share off the cylindrical fillets growing from your abdominal epidermis.
This is Seth Adamshire. Stay tuned next time as the chase is on, only at PendantAudio.com. You've been listening to a Pendant production of the Dixie Stenberg and Brassy Battalion Adventure Theater, brought to you tonight by the Umkasharp Stick Injector Razor. And remember,
it changes blades when you need new blades, like a machine gun!
A simple push, pull, shove, twist, pull, push, heave, thrust, pull, push.
Oh no!
What? I put the heave before the thrust.
But the shove comes after the twist.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
Stay safe, America. And good night.
Oh, my stars and goddess, you need to be strong and healthy and fit and fine to give me children, grandchildren someday or some damn thing. Maybe a melon or a quince or something.
This production was written by Jeffrey Bridges and directed by Seth Adamshire, assistant director Jim Hamilton. Umkit Industries presents the Dixie Stenberg and Brassy Battalion Adventure Theater, created by Jeffrey Bridges, copyright 2009, Pendant Productions. For more information, visit PendantAudio.com. Thanks for listening.
Actually, I'd rather have a pomelo.